Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Drawn to Her, an Opposites Attract Billionaire Romance by Jenna Hart. Narrated by Ali Shea. Chapter 1. Rummy. Again. Lexi McKenna laid her cards on the table over Oliver Carmichael's hospital bed.
You wouldn't be trying to take advantage of a dying man, would you?
He grinned at her, despite the fact he was, indeed, dying. At least he is dying on his terms. Lexi admired his courage to abandon his life of riches in New York to live out the rest of his days in his quiet childhood home in Charlotte Tavern, Virginia. He was comfortable, or as comfortable as could be expected when dying of lung cancer. Oh, please, you're richer than God. She gathered the cards and prepared to shuffle them. I couldn't win enough dough to dent your stockpile of money. He laughed.
You got that right.
Since you can't take it with you, I might as well pad my pockets with your loot. She dealt them each 7 cards, glad he was in good spirits today. Being his personal nurse hadn't always been card games and banter. Oliver was the definition of cantankerous with his brusque demeanor, quick temper, and low tolerance of others. His illness hadn't improved his attitude. Lexi understood it was difficult for a larger-than-life man such as Oliver to accept his mortality and the limitations imposed by his illness. But that didn't mean she was going to put up with his surly behavior. Over the 6 weeks she'd been his private nurse, they'd come to an understanding. Whatever he dished out, she gave back. As a result, Oliver's behavior had improved, and they'd become friends.
Double or nothing.
Oliver picked up the cards she dealt him. It's your money, Warbucks.
What the hell?
A man stepped into the room. Startled by the intrusion, Lexi turned to the man behind the deep, harsh voice. Great day, she drawled the southern expression of surprise and dismay under her breath as a scowling, very tall, broad-shouldered man approached. In Lexi's world, nearly everyone was taller than her. But this man was humongous, not just in size, but in presence as well. He swallowed up space with each step until the room shrunk to the size of a closet. His narrowed gray eyes moved from her to Oliver. His dark, foreboding stare reminded her of Oliver when he was in one of his moods. Finally, someone has come to visit. Except that a glance toward Oliver told her neither man seemed particularly happy.
What are you doing here?
Oliver's scowl matched the man's, although his voice, raspy from cancer, didn't match the dark intensity of his features.
I'm here to see you, and I'm not leaving until we talk.
The newcomer stood at the end of the bed in a casual stance, belying the expectant look in his face. Lexi couldn't deny there was something compelling about him. He was handsome for sure, with short jet-black hair and dark steely gray eyes made more attractive by the long lashes rimming them. He exuded a power that suggested he always got what he wanted without much effort, and an energy that said, "Keep your distance." Typical New York businessman.
I'm sick.
Oliver slunk down in his covers, letting his eyes drop to half-mast. Lexi frowned. Oliver wasn't one to take orders or be intimidated by others, and yet instead of telling this man to take a flying leap, he hid under his blankets. The change in Oliver's demeanor concerned her. Who are you?
Who are you?
Lexi's hackles rose. Who did Tall, Dark, and Brooding think he was coming into her home, well, Oliver's home, making demands like he owned the place?
Humph.
Oliver straightened in his bed.
Lexi McKenna, this is my grandson, Drake Carmichael. Drake, this is Lexi, my nurse.
Lexi's annoyance was lessened slightly, knowing someone in Oliver's family had finally come to visit. She'd made so many calls and sent several letters, all of which had been ignored. She stood and extended her hand. How wonderful that you finally...
Nurse? What the hell kind of nurse jokes about dying and taking your money?
Drake stepped close to her, towering his imposing body over hers, causing a shiver that had nothing to do with fear or intimidation. She should have been wary. Instead, she was intrigued.
Your bedside manner is lacking.
Now wait a minute. Lexi ignored the crackle of electricity zapping within the narrowing gap between them. She wasn't going to let some stranger, no matter how big, mean, and gorgeous, intimidate and insult her. Unfortunately, at 5'3", she only came to his chest. Not a good vantage point to make a statement. Hold that thought. She grabbed the step stool next to Oliver's bed and gained the extra foot she needed to look Drake in the eyes. You have some nerve. She poked him in the chest with her index finger, ignoring the jolt of heat zapping her each time she felt the hard, firm muscle underneath his starched white shirt. Where have you been all this time your grandfather has been sick? You never once called or sent a note. She glared at him, pleased at the surprise in his steel gray eyes. His surprise quickly changed to disconcertedness as his dark, stormy eyes sized her up from head to toe and back again. He glared at her with such intensity, she worried she'd wither into nothing. But she wasn't a delicate flower. She gathered her resolve and turned her stare on him, openly assessing him back. At first, his eyes remained hard and cold. But upon closer inspection, there was something smoldering and compelling hidden behind them. As quickly as it was there, it was gone, and his gray eyes turned flat and unreadable. Lexi ignored Oliver's attempt to get her attention because she couldn't turn away from Drake, no matter how forbidding his eyes. She wasn't about to give him the satisfaction of flinching first. At least, that was what she told herself as she continued to hold his gaze. It wasn't easy with her heart hammering and her knees turning to jelly.
I hate to interrupt this moment, but I'd hate for someone to get hurt.
Oliver's voice cut through the standoff. Drake's gaze held Lexi's.
I'd never hurt a woman. It's not Lexi I'm worried about.
Drake looked at Oliver, breaking the impasse. Lexi's lips curved in satisfaction. That's right, Buster. You don't scare me. You might make me swoon, but you don't scare me. With the battle of wills over for the moment, she turned on the charm Southern women were famous for. Let's try this again. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Carmichael. She held out her hand. He looked at it as if she had cooties. Finally, he grasped her hand, his long fingers wrapping fully around her hand in a firm, although not crushing, grip, as she might have expected.
Ms. McKenna.
His voice was rough, laced with annoyance. Even so, he held her hand, his gaze boring into hers as if searching for something. Her heart skipped a beat at the heat of his gaze. It was oddly thrilling, yet terrifying. Why don't you sit here? She disentangled her hand from his before she turned to mush, motioning to a chair near Oliver's bed. And you? She fixed Oliver's covers and moved the over table out of the way. Be nice. Casting Drake one last glance, she left the room. Lexi sank back against the closed door, blowing a loose curl of hair off her forehead. Wow. She placed a hand over her racing heart. She couldn't remember ever having such a visceral response to a man. Not that she was immune to good-looking men. She appreciated a handsome man as much as the next woman, but she didn't usually go for the tall, dark, and brooding types. And certainly not openly rude ones. Although, she had to concede that someone who didn't understand her relationship with Oliver could construe her banter with him as being in poor taste. Or maybe Drake thought she really wanted to take Oliver's money, in which case he'd think she was a gold digger. Lexi dismissed that idea. She didn't have the assets. such as long legs and melon-sized breasts required to seduce old rich men. So, most likely, Drake just thought she was insensitive. Maybe she was. She didn't have a lot of experience with terminally ill patients. Her past nursing jobs had involved emergency care, which didn't allow for long-term interactions. She understood the nursing aspect of caring for Oliver and had read many books on death and dying, so she had knowledge of the psychological parts as well. Regardless, Oliver seemed to think she was doing a good job and continued to keep her around. Would Drake stick around too? One part of her hoped he'd stay. Terminally ill people should be surrounded by family. But Oliver was adamant he didn't want his family fussing over and feeling sorry for him. She had difficulty accepting his position. Though her research on hospice care taught her terminally ill people sometimes didn't want their families around because it created more stress for the dying, who felt the need to protect the survivors from the reality of death. What really bothered her wasn't Oliver's insistence people not visit, but the fact his family hadn't made contact with him. If someone in her family were dying, she'd be right by their side. But no one had come for Oliver. Until now. She hadn't witnessed a happy reunion. His grandson was here because he wanted something, she felt sure. She considered pressing her ear to the door to find out what it was. Perhaps she should intervene. On the other hand, despite his illness, Oliver hadn't lost any of his bluster. His mind and tongue were as sharp as ever. He didn't need her help to deal with Drake. She, however, might need Oliver's help to deal with Drake if he decided to stay. She supposed it was adrenaline-fueled annoyance that had her standing up to Drake, but she'd come precariously close to melting under the intensity of his gaze. How can someone be so irritating and sexy at the same time? She chastised herself for being selfish. She should be thinking about what was best for Oliver, not whether or not she could withstand Drake's piercing stare and rude behavior. If Oliver wanted Drake around, then she'd find a way to control her smart-aleck mouth and hormones. Chapter 2.
She's something, isn't she?
Oliver said when the door shut behind Lexi.
Something all right.
Drake sat in the chair, but his gaze remained on the door. How had that pixie-like nurse looked right through him to his soul?
What was that she said when I came in? Great what?
He tore his gaze away from the woman's wake to look at his grandfather.
Great day. It's a southern saying usually expressing surprise or dismay. Sometimes it means, oh my goodness. You seemed to have made an impression on her. She doesn't have much respect for authority.
Oliver smiled.
She's got respect for authority, just not for overconfident, conceited jerks like us. You'll get used to Lexi putting you in your place. She's a real spitfire. Your intimidation tactics won't work on her.
I wasn't trying to intimidate her.
It was a lie. He did try to intimidate her. At first, because he recognized she was the gatekeeper to his grandfather, but later he wanted her to stop looking at him as if she could see through his bravado to his inadequacy.
Weren't you?
I didn't come here to fight with you.
Why did you come? I told you specifically not to.
Drake inhaled a deep breath to bolster his confidence. Most of the world perceived him as impenetrable and confident, but when it came to his grandfather, and apparently Nurse Lexi, Drake didn't feel as steady as he'd like. He knew his grandfather wasn't happy about the visit and wouldn't welcome him, but the future of Carmichael Corporation was at stake, and Drake believed his grandfather was the key to saving it.
Why are you here? If you're sick, you should be with family.
Oliver's lip curled in disgust.
Not my family. There's no peace with you or your brother and his barracuda wife.
Why here in Virginia? Why not someplace in New York, near home, so we can keep tabs on you?
I don't want you to keep tabs on me.
Oliver crossed thin, frail arms over his chest.
You and Derek have the business. You've been trained all your life to run it. What's the problem?
The problem is, Derek and I can't run the business together.
Drake leaned back in the chair, crossing his arms over his chest, hoping he looked casual and not nervous.
You're going to have to, because I don't intend to do it anymore. I'd like to spend my last days in peace and quiet.
Drake studied his grandfather, searching for clues as to why he was adamant about staying.
At least come back to New York. I'm sure they have wonderful hospice services there as well.
I have people looking after me here. Lexi has been a godsend.
Oliver was frail, but there was no mistaking the firmness in his tone. He wouldn't budge on the matter. Drake glanced toward the door again.
She has very poor manners. I know we can get someone better for you.
Oliver's eyes darkened.
Don't you dare. Lexi has brought light and laughter into a very dark time in my life. I'm dying, Drake. Not talking about it or pussyfooting around it doesn't make it not so. I appreciate her openness about it, and...
Oliver tensed and then jerked as a coughing fit seized his body. At first, Drake waited for him to stop, but the coughing spell worsened as it continued on, and Oliver's face reddened. Panic clutched at Drake's gut.
What do you need? What can I do?
Ms. McKenna!
Her name was barely out of his mouth when she rushed into the room. Drake moved out of her way so she could tend to Oliver. She was amazingly calm and efficient as she helped Oliver sit up.
Hand me that water, would you?
Her attention stayed on Oliver as she reached one hand back toward Drake. Drake's hands shook as he picked up the glass from the nearby table and handed it to her. Oliver managed a few sips, and then sunk back into his pillow. Drake let out a breath as relief flooded him. He stepped back, stunned at reality of Oliver's ailment. His grandfather was dying. How did he feel about that? Sad, of course. His grandfather had raised him and his twin brother Derek since they were 6 when their parents died. But Oliver didn't provide a loving home. He was a hard man who expected his grandsons to follow in his footsteps, which meant living 100% for the Carmichael Corporation. Only terminal illness had pulled his grandfather away from the business.
Maybe it's time for a rest.
Lexi set the water on the over table and fixed Oliver's covers. You're past your afternoon nap.
I'll have plenty of rest when I'm dead.
Oliver's voice lost the vigor it carried before the attack. She nodded, casting a look at Drake he supposed meant he should leave.
I'll be in the kitchen.
Then as quickly as she'd whisked into the room, she was gone. Oliver sighed, his body settling into the bedding as if he were being deflated.
Drake, I'm dying. I'd like to spend my last days without drama every damn day. Go back to New York. Let me die here in peace.
Why here?
Drake couldn't hide his bafflement. Charlotte Tavern, Virginia was in the middle of nowhere. How'd Oliver even know of it?
I grew up here. My happiest days were spent here.
The fact that Drake hadn't known that, or anything about his grandfather's life beyond business, was another reminder of what Oliver thought was most important. It hadn't been family. Drake scanned the room. It wasn't originally a bedroom. The walls of oak bookshelves in the dark green room with burgundy curtains suggested it had once been a library. Now it was a hospice suite, where Oliver lay in a hospital bed surrounded by medical equipment and supplies, and a bedside table with enough pill bottles to stock a pharmacy. Oliver's usually sharp gray eyes softened and dimmed in a way Drake had never witnessed before.
This illness has taught me a hard lesson, Drake. Lexi is right. I can't take my money with me. I worked my whole life for money and prestige, and In the end, it's worthless. In fact, when I left New York, I took only the clothes on my back and the contents of that box.
Drake's gaze followed Oliver's finger pointing toward an antique box on a shelf.
At the end of my life, the only things that matter are in that box. You'll notice what's not in it. The business.
Nor family.
Take some advice from a dying man. Forget the business and find true happiness instead.
Drake was not often surprised, but for the second time in only 10 minutes, he was rendered speechless.
Never thought you'd hear me say that, did you, boy?
No.
You'd be wise to listen to me now. I wasn't a very good grandfather or caregiver, but I can tell you this. When you're dying, money means nothing. I've had a lot of time lying in this bed to reflect on my life, and I'm not happy with what I've realized. I have way too many regrets. Don't let that happen to you.
I'm happy working at Carmichael.
Oliver gave him a long, assessing look.
Are you sure you know what happiness is? You certainly didn't learn it from your family.
Drake didn't like the unsettling feeling in the pit of his stomach.
I know I want to be a success at running Carmichael Corporation, and I need your help with that.
He watched his grandfather closely, searching for disapproval in the old man's eyes. As expected, disappointment appeared on Oliver's face. He had never tolerated weakness in his family, and asking for help was definitely a weakness.
If you can't figure out how to run the company, perhaps you shouldn't be there.
Although he'd anticipated it, the barb still hurt.
I can run the company just fine. What doesn't work is the two of us running it together. Derek and I have very different views.
So that's why you're here. You're hoping I'll turn the reins to you and leave Derek out.
Leaving us without any guidelines on how you intend it to pass will ruin it and us.
So maybe I should give it to Derek.
This wasn't a jab as much as a challenge. All his life, Drake had the threat of Oliver choosing his twin brother, Derek, over him, just as Derek had the threat of losing out to Drake. And, as always happened, Drake stepped up to the challenge. He wanted the business. He'd learned a lot about business from his grandfather, but he also studied all the new business designs and strategies. He was sure he could bring the business further with his vision. But Derek stopped him at every turn, which wasn't hard to do since he also had the ear of the management and board where decisions were made. So while Drake had the support and loyalty of the staff, nothing could get done without the go-ahead from the management and board, who lacked vision and mocked innovation. Everything was at a stalemate.
Marla Hines quit.
Marla had been Oliver's longtime administrative assistant and number one gatekeeper.
What? I have her letter of resignation if you want to read it. She said she'd end up killing Derek or herself, so the best thing to do was quit.
Oliver laughed.
She threatened me with that a few times.
This time she followed through.
Drake struggled to find the words to make Oliver understand without undermining his position.
Morale is low, and nothing is getting done. We need your help to calm the situation. You left without any word or direction. You can at least help us get the roles ironed out.
I'm not going to New York.
Oliver's tone was final. Drake inhaled a long, calming breath.
Fine. I'll stay here. I'll work with you here. We can use web and teleconferencing to work with Derek.
Oliver's eyes widened, then he smirked.
How will you ever survive away from city life?
Drake wondered that too. Rural Virginia was nice enough, but he was a New Yorker through and through. He liked the energy and pace of the city. Charlotte Tavern, though quaint, didn't appear to offer much after dark. It would be a sacrifice, but he needed his grandfather's help in containing Derek. And maybe, by doing so, he could ensure his own succession.
I'll manage.
Oliver studied him for a minute.
You sure you don't want to make your break, too? There is more to life than expensive wine and women.
Drake held firm.
I'm sure. You have to convince Lexi I'm up to it. She won't want me having undue stress.
Drake bit the inside of his lip. Was Lexi's role more than a nurse and gatekeeper? Had she charmed his grandfather into developing a deeper relationship?
As an employee, she shouldn't have any say about what you do.
Oliver smirked.
I hired her to make my life easy. She's good at it, too.
Drake nodded, even though he still had concerns about Lexi's intentions.
Fine. I'll talk to her. Good. Now get out. I need my rest.
Drake stood outside Oliver's room, gathering his thoughts. He hadn't been prepared for how sick his grandfather appeared. When he'd gotten the call that his grandfather was dying, Drake didn't believe it. Oliver was larger than life. He'd been known to engage in elaborate schemes to get what he wanted. Faking an illness wasn't beyond the realm of possibility. Oliver left New York without a word, leaving Drake and Derek floundering and fighting for control. In Drake's mind, it had been a test to determine which brother was prepared to take control of the company. It was a test Drake worried he'd fail by flying down to Charlotte Tavern to confront his grandfather. He still wasn't convinced he wasn't being tested, but Oliver's illness and prognosis were true. As a result, Drake's mission was more important than ever. Oliver couldn't die without doing something to secure Carmichael Corporation's future. Drake's next step was to talk to Oliver's nurse. That rankled. He wasn't the type of man who asked permission. Having to ask her permission didn't annoy him as much as the way he'd been caught off guard by her brazenness and how her emerald eyes stared into the depths of his soul when she challenged him. He could tell she was a woman who went after what she wanted, and Drake wondered if she was after Oliver's money. Although Oliver appeared to have all his faculties, he also seemed overly fond of his nurse. Maybe this trip wasn't going to just be about securing Carmichael Corporation's future, but also about protecting Oliver from a gold digger. He started up the hall in search of Lexi, stopping outside a door when he heard two women talking. He recognized one of the voices as Lexi's, and tried to ignore what it meant that after 1 3-minute confrontation, he'd know her soft southern voice so well. He rolled his shoulders and took a deep breath to build up his guard. Nurse Lexi's bravado and scrutinizing green eyes wouldn't face him this time. He pushed through the swinging door into a large, warm kitchen. Like the other parts of the home he'd seen so far, the kitchen retained the early 20th century charm it had been built in, yet it was updated with modern appliances. The walls were a buttery yellow, accented by clean white cabinets. Light from the afternoon sun shone through two large windows, giving the room a welcoming, homey feel. At least, that's what Drake suspected welcoming and homey looked like. The home he grew up in with Oliver was probably as old as this house, but it had been stark and bleak. Lexi's back was to him as she picked up a pot and began drying it, oblivious to his entrance.
How particular are you about where these pots go?
She bent over to put the pot away, and he eyed her petite frame, which nearly fit inside the cupboard as she tried to make room for the pot.
You must be the grandson.
The voice came from the other side of the room. Drake dragged his gaze away from Lexi to the other woman staring at him through large round glasses too big for her 50-something face. Lexi stood and looked at him. Then she smiled, and the brilliance of it hit him hard in the chest.
Oh, hey. So, you staying, or did he scare you away?
He tried.
Lexi turned to the other woman.
Claire, this is Oliver's grandson, Drake Carmichael. This is Claire Hutchins. She does the cooking and cleaning around here.
Nice to meet you.
Drake extended his hand to the other woman.
You too.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?